Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All righty, rock and rolling inside the Phoenix Convention Center. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the site of the Final Four that will get set Saturday evening with Purdue and NC State. And you also have UConn, the Huskies, who had some travel problems, but they have made it to Phoenix, Arizona, and they'll be taking on Alabama. So a whole lot cooking still to come. Bryce Drew is going to join us, Andy Enfield as well, and Mark Pope, as we'll be having a bunch of coaches stop by the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, live from Phoenix, Arizona, from noon to 3 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. First, let me tell you that we're sponsored by CDW. CDW experts help you get more from your technology so you can do amazing things. CDW, make amazing happen. So Schefty, as all of his friends do call him, Adam Schefter of the ESPN, he was on his podcast, the Adam Schefter podcast, and he said, quote, "I think the signs continue to point to Jaden Daniels being the second overall pick, Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, and then the New England Patriots, dun, 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 would be on the clock at number 3 with the possibility of taking Drake May." It's a somber, somber mood now inside the Phoenix Convention Center, because I do not want Drake May on the New England Patriots. I don't. You know what, Samter? Let me ask you this, Mike, because I have been so anti the Patriots taking Drake May, and I would be disappointed if they don't end up taking a quarterback with all the buildup, but I could see when you really don't have much cooking with this organization now, where you can make the logical argument to get all the first-round picks that you would get if, let's say, a team like Minnesota or Stu's Raiders or whoever it would be come up to 3. So part of it would be bittersweet, where it's probably the best thing for the organization, but it's like when you hear all this talk about quarterback, 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 and then you don't take a quarterback, it's just like, ugh, that we really wasted all of our time. But it's going to actually be weird if the Patriots do take Drake May. Because as a football fan, I want my team to succeed. I want my team to do well. I want Drake May to be a stud if he is, in fact, the Patriots quarterback. But I have been so anti-Drake May on the Patriots last month, month and a half, it's going to just be a weird, and I mean a weird transitional period, if, in fact, when we're at the draft in Detroit and we're sitting down and I have probably a nice glass of vino in my hand, or maybe some. I'll be like Aaron Rodgers, right? When he found out that they drafted Jordan Love, I'll put like 4 fingers into a scotch glass and just fill up that sucker the entire way. It's going to be weird having to embrace someone that I have not wanted to be my quarterback now for the last 2 months.
And, you know, that's the point where hope comes in, where you know it's a no-win situation. Either he sucks and you're pissed, or he's great and you're like, okay, I was wrong on him. But you have to just kind of like put that broadcaster part aside, mm-hmm. put that prognosticator part aside, and be a fan again and just hope that he's great. I was the same way when the Jets drafted Zach Wilson. I wanted Justin Fields. I thought Justin Fields kind of was like similar to Drake May,
yeah.
in the sense that like he was the number 2 behind Trevor Lawrence for 2 years. He was the number 2. And then because of the weird COVID year, he had a couple weird bad games, even though he still made it to the playoffs and played well. You know, he just dropped off of everyone's board and went down to the Bears. And I'm like, why are we going after this kid, Zach Wilson? And I was pissed. Once they drafted him, I was like, all right, I don't believe in this guy, but I want him to do well. I want him to succeed. And that's kind of where you're going to have to be. And at the end of the day, maybe you're right, and Drake May's going to be a mistake. And then you'll be able to at least have that win of saying, hey, I was right. Or, better case scenario, you're wrong, and Drake May ends up being your next
franchise. I hope
franchise.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So
I would be so happy to be trolled for the 10 to 15 years of potentially his Hall of Fame career about being wrong. I would love that because it means my team is in a successful spot with a great quarterback, but I have to really lean on you in these next 3 weeks, because no one has experience their team drafting the wrong guy than your team.
Vernon Golston, Kyle Brady over Warren Sapp.
No, but just with
Milner.
The quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Sanchez. The quarterbacks. Well, actually, Mark Sanchez, outside of Joe Willie Namath, could be the best quarterback the Jets have ever had. He went to two AFC championship games.
It's got to be Vinny Testaverde, but, you know, maybe.
Fine.
Browning, Nagel, yikes.
But Vinny hurt. Aaron Rodgers hurt. Brett Favre got hurt. Like, you guys had some big names, but the players that you drafted, those are the guys that have tortured you for the last 20 years. And through all that, like, Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold. You look at Mark Sanchez, even though he wasn't the reason you guys got to two AFC championship games, he was still part of those teams that got the two AFC championships.
Yeah, I mean, Chad Pennington probably is the best of the first round picks.
Another guy that got hurt.
Got hurt, but he was really good for the Jets for at least a longer period of time than Sanchez. But, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you're a Patriots fan, and you've been railing against Drake May. But my question, I guess, I have for you is this. Is it more that you think that it's Jaden Daniels or bust? Or is it just not Drake May? Like, if they stay put at three and they go with Penix or J.J. McCarthy, are you as upset as you are with Drake May? Or is your position if Daniels is off the board?
I think I'm even more heated. If they go Penix or McCarthy, I'm going to need a lot of whiskey.
Okay, so for you, it's really you just really want Jaden Daniels.
And this is coming from someone that's a Michigan fan.
For sure.
Like, I love J.J. McCarthy as a college quarterback.
Right.
Can he maybe be the guy on an NFL team? Yes, but not in New England.
He has to have people around him.
Like, if J.J. McCarthy goes to the Minnesota Vikings,
yeah.
I could see J.J. McCarthy having success. J.J. McCarthy gets drafted by the Patriots, they got nothing.
Right.
I love Kendrick Bourne as an interview. He's been on this show before. He's our number one wide receiver right now. All right? Like,
I remember those years.
This is what drives me nuts with people. Because everyone now says Bill Belichick is this, like, coach that the last few years it was a disgrace, it was a disaster. No, Bill just sucked as a GM. You look at those rosters, it's crazy that it took 3 years for the Patriots to bottom out. Like, that year where they made the playoffs with Mac Jones, that roster stinks. You look at the year where they were 8-9 and missed out on the postseason last game of the season where they lost to Buffalo. That was the first game back from the whole DeMar Hamlin unfortunate situation. And you had the two kick returns by Nyheim Hines in that game, or right off the right out of the gate for the kickoff. It's like those teams, those rosters were terrible. And I'm not telling you Mac Jones is good, but Mac Jones wasn't put in the right position to succeed in New England because he never had a number one wide receiver. Like, you look at Tennessee. Look what the Titans have done this offseason. I don't know if Will Levis is going to be the guy, but what Tennessee did was they said, we have DeAndre Hopkins, we're going to overpay for Calvin Ridley. We're going to go bring in Tony Pollard, who's fine. Tony Pollard's on an every down back in this league, but they did enough and then also enhanced their defense by bringing in, via trade, L'Jarius Sneed and an offensive coach, even though I like Vrabel better, but an offensive coach and Callahan being their head coach. They're trying to put Will Levis in a position to succeed, and if Will doesn't play well this year, it's because of his own. Like, that's the part of the battle here. The reason why I want Jaden Daniels is we saw the 40 touchdown passes this past year. I get it, there's risk, because what happened at Arizona State happened at Arizona State, and no one thought he was this great quarterback at Arizona State. But this past year, you saw a quarterback that fits the mold in 2024 that could beat you with your arm, but also has the athleticism to go run. And I don't need my quarterback running for 1,100 yards in the NFL, but to have those bullets in the chamber and to have those weapons in your arsenal, it's just a higher upside. And I think Jaden Daniels has a better chance to succeed in New England than Drake May. Like, Drake May, what does everyone say? Not NFL ready. He can't get on the field in year one. You want to throw Jacoby Brissett to the wolves for this year? Fine. That's part of the backup quarterback position in the NFL, and you get this opportunity. But is much going to change with Drake May from year one to year two with the situation around New England? Calvin Ridley didn't pick the Patriots because his girlfriend wanted to not go to Foxborough. Like, who are they getting a year from now? Who are they getting that's going to vastly improve this team? That's why I want Jaden Daniels.
Well, so here's an interesting question then, because I agree with you that Jaden Daniels can carry a team that lacks talent better than a guy like Drake May,
mm-hmm.
and better than a guy like J.J. McCarthy, who needs certain guys around them. But the question is, once the Patriots do fill in those gaps, do you still think that Jaden Daniels has the bigger upside than Drake May or those other guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you think that he's the better guy with no talent and with talent around him?
Yes.
Okay.
So the way that I look at it is this. If we go through the five quarterbacks that are projected to go in the first round,
okay,
Caleb Williams is the creme de la creme quarterback. No one criticizes Caleb Williams on the field. It's the toughness off the field. Whether you want to go after him for jumping into the stands and crying in his mother's arms. I don't do that stuff, but people wonder if he could win over a locker room. Caleb Williams' play should put him in a position where I don't care what he does off the field, you know, in a legal sense, obviously. He doesn't do anything illegal that we know of, but Caleb Williams is someone that I think he'll be that good, and he has enough around him in Chicago that any of these concerns right now, I just think it's fatigue. I really think it's prospect fatigue. I look at Jaden Daniels. That's a guy that after Williams, he has the highest ceiling out of any quarterback in this draft. You go to Drake May. Drake May to me is, let's say, a poor man's version of Josh Allen at his best. But just because Josh Allen was able to overcome some of the issues that he had in college and he turned it around to get the job done doesn't mean that that's going to be the case. It doesn't mean that that's going to be the case with him. Because we've seen other guys that have come into the NFL and said, okay, if this works, if that works, you could turn into this. But a lot of those guys don't turn out to be Josh Allen. So that's the way that I view Drake May. I think the idea of Drake May is at his best, he could be a poor man's Josh Allen. But then you know those mistakes that we criticize Josh Allen for? I think you see those pop up more with Drake May when it's just like the moment of what the heck is this guy doing on the football field. Now, as for the other two quarterbacks, McCarthy, they're selling you on his potential. And they're saying that at Michigan, behind that big offensive line, behind the two running backs, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, that he wasn't put in the position where he needed to throw the football more. And the guy only has one loss in his college career as a starter. So I understand the idea of J.J. McCarthy, but I believe he has to go to a situation that has elite talent around him for everything to come together with J.J. McCarthy. Michael Penix, and I've been a big fan of Michael Penix. What concerns me with him, it's not the deep ball accuracy. He's the best deep ball passer in this draft class. It's everything else. Like, we know the guy's a good leader. We know the guy can overcome adversity. We know the guy is tough. But you go back to that national championship game that I was at, and we know that the Michigan defense is phenomenal and was underappreciated really in that run and then got the recognition late. And they had an elite secondary all throughout the season. But that secondary said, we're just not allowing Michael Penix to beat us deep. And when it came to the middle of the field throws, when it came to the underneath throws, there's a lot of throws that Michael Penix looks lost. When you're taking away the deep ball shot and you're asking him to throw the ball underneath. And that's a concern for me. But I think McCarthy and Penix are kind of a little bit similar. Where, yes, you've seen more with Penix in the last 2 years. Should make him a first-round pick. But I believe both those guys, the perfect landing spot for both of them, even though they're different players, are the Minnesota Vikings. Or even the – like, if one of them – obviously goes to Minnesota, the other one the Raiders, because at least you have a Davante Adams. Like, I think Jaden Daniels can survive in this league the first 2-3 years without a number one wide receiver. Caleb Williams, we know he's gonna have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, but I think he could survive in this league right away without a number one wide receiver. Those two guys to me are franchise quarterbacks because they make people around them better and they could survive without a number one wide receiver early on. But for Drake May, for JJ McCarthy, for Michael Penix, they need patience and they need the right roster. And for a fit at three, and I don't always believe in the notion, build the roster, then get the quarterback. Like, if you could get the quarterback and you can manage him and not ruin him, then go do it. But what I'm saying is, with this Patriots new regime and with the lack of roster, I think if the pick is anyone but Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, and both those guys won't be available, they're going to ruin once again another quarterback and failed to put that quarterback in a position to succeed. So you know what? I basically just went through a therapy session with you and I figured out what I want to do now. If they can't get Caleb Williams, which they won't, if they can't get Jaden Daniels, Trade back and build the roster, or take Marvin Harrison Jr. So at least you have that wide receiver. So when the team stinks next year, you'll be in the top of the draft and maybe get Shedeur Sanders and coach Deion Sanders. Imagine that, taking over one Patriot place. So that's where I'm at right now. Michael Fry, who is kind of our checks and balances in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, says, Gelb, I'm going to video this and send it to you in 4 years. Drake May will be the best QB in this draft. Just wait. Michael Fry. Let me tell you, Michael Fry, I have studied your football takes the last 3 years. I have listened to your Ohio State propaganda, and it's been wrong, 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 and more wrong. If he ends up being right about Drake May, I would be glad. I'd be thrilled. I'd be doing somersaults in the streets, all right? I'd be jacked up if I have my next franchise quarterback. I just don't believe Drake May is the right and next franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots. All right, we'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before we do take that time out, let me just tell you that we're sponsored today by Marriott. Take your game day rituals on the road with Marriott Bonvoy. Over 30 hotel brands for every kind of fan. Discover more at MarriottBonvoy.com/NCAA. Bryce Drew's going to join us next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Alrighty, back inside the Phoenix Convention Center. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Now joining us, the head coach at Grand Canyon. He, of course, is Bryce Drew. Coach, thanks so much for stopping on by. How you been?
I'm doing great. Welcome to town. Hope you're enjoying your trip to Phoenix so far.
Well, we were actually talking about you 2 weeks ago. We had Christian Leitner on, and we were talking about the great shots in the NCAA tournament, and he goes, yeah, whoever that kid was from Valpo, yeah, he was pretty good. You know, all these years later, with how much that moment not only meant for you, but also your family and for so many people, how do you kind of relive it?
Yeah, you know, at the time, I remember we were staying at the Holiday Inn in Oklahoma City, and we were 11 a.m., I think the very first game of the whole tournament. And after the game, we went back into to the hotel, and they actually showed our highlight on ESPN. And we were so excited they were actually showing us, you know, a highlight. You know, never did we ever imagine that, you know, years later they would get to play the play over and over, and we would see it, you know, on CBS time after time. So, you know, what a blessing. Just really thankful for that.
Do your kids realize that shot and realize that moment? I'm talking about the kids that you coach now.
No. They weren't even born, yeah. You know, at that time. And we don't talk about it. We don't show it. Every once in a while, you know, we'll have a player, and, you know, either maybe his parent or one of his older trainers will be like, man, did you see the shot that your coach made? And then they'll pull it up and show him real quick and stuff. So it's pretty funny when that happens.
So take me back through this season. You guys made the tournament once again. You guys got a victory in the tourney. Just how do you kind to look back and recap this special year?
Yeah, you know, it was a blessing. We had a couple guys, Ty and Grant Foster, one that, you know, overcame a lot, was out for 2 years with a heart condition, got clear, just had an unbelievable year, conference player of the year, hopefully going to get drafted. And, you know, we were healthy. Our starters started every single game all year long, which doesn't happen very often. So we had a lot of things really go our way, and just a great group and a fun group to be around.
Bryce, you're joining us right now. The team that ended up losing to Alabama, we know have gone on this run to the Final Four, and they'll go up against UConn. What was the toughest part about preparing for Alabama? Because it's crazy how quickly the narrative can change going into the tournament. You know, they had some injuries. They weren't playing great. People thought they would quickly be in and out, and now here they are 40 minutes away from beating the championship game on Monday night.
Yeah, I think defensively was the biggest thing we saw from studying all their film and watching. Their defensive intensity and was just way, way better starting in our game. And, you know, I think they've bought into, you know, playing, you know, much tougher defense, and that's helped allow them to get them to the Final Four. They have so many different guys that can hurt you offensively. But the biggest step for them, again, is that defensive side.
Yeah, and that was going to be what was either going to make or break their NCAA tournament. And they've made some timely stops, obviously, to get to this point. But offensively, like, how do you even try to prepare for them? Because it seems like even when teams contain them, they still find a way to break 80 points.
Yeah, you know, Sears is really, really good. Whatever you see on film, he's even better in person. He beats you so many different ways. And, you know, he's kind of on a run, kind of like Jalen Brunson was at Villanova, you know, with the physicality at the guard position, his ability just to take over games in different ways. And so he's obviously, you know, the head of that team. And, you know, I don't think you can stop him. I think, you know, he's going to score. I think it's important, you know, you try to limit some other guys and limit their offensive rebounding. I think that hurt us, and they've been good all year at that. That's something that gets overlooked. They shoot a lot of threes, so you get a lot of long rebounds. They have a lot of guys that can go in and get the ball.
Going into this tournament, as Bryce Drew joins us, I was talking about UConn, and I said, if anyone keeps it within 10 points with UConn, I would actually be surprised. That they kind of reminded me of that Villanova team from a few years ago where they just beat everybody by double digits and it wasn't even close. Do you expect this to be a down-to-the-wire game, Alabama and UConn?
You know, I do. You know, I think it's definitely two different styles. I want to say UConn's 315th in pace and tempo, and obviously Alabama's one of the top teams in the country at getting up and down. So, you know, will UConn be able to play their pace, or will get to Alabama's pace? Alabama's so scary, though. Again, we held them to 72 points, their lowest point total of the year, and they still won. So it shows they are capable of winning a lower-scoring game. So I think it will go down to the end, and at the end of the game, usually matters who makes shots and who doesn't, and that's probably going to determine it.
You talked about your moment, right, in the tourney, and you got back to the hotel, and you see it on TV. The sensation that has now turned into DJ Burns, that to me is still the beauty of this tournament, where they're 17-14, coaches on the verge of getting fired, 5 days and five wins in 5 days. They win the ACC, and now here they are in the Final Four, and everyone's loving DJ Burns.
Oh, it's you know, what are the odds, you know, of that a month ago? If people would have said that, everyone would have said you're crazy.
No, like, yeah.
Like no
the
way.
The coach probably would have
yeah, like,
said
no, no way does that happen. I mean, 5 games in 5 days is remarkable in itself, and then to bounce right back and win two more games in the next week right ahead of you. Pretty remarkable. And now they beat good teams now. It's not like they're beating good teams. I mean, they're beating really good teams. And it does just add to the excitement. Again, this is the time where legends are made, and he's becoming a legend right in front of our eyes, you know, in the last two to 3 weeks.
And obviously to get here, you have to go through two weekends. But to go through that run, and then they still had legs to get out of the first and the second round.
Yeah.
But then I know you're not taking a week off, but you're basically not playing for that week. I thought maybe that's when even they got the rest of the legs would give out, but their legs have been going the whole way. It's crazy.
It's been going the whole way. So if you've been on their bandwagon, I wouldn't get off now. They beat a lot of teams they weren't supposed to beat in the last 3 weeks.
And then another part of the Final Four is obviously Purdue. We saw when Virginia lost to a 16 UMBC. Next year they come back. They get to the Final Four. They win it all. To see Matt Painter and Zach Edey, they have overcome what happened a year ago, but now to be here, it's like, okay, you got a chance to go win this entire thing. Just as someone that has been through ups and downs in this sport, to see them overcome a tough time, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, really happy. Matt's such a great coach. That's a great person. You know, he's done things the right way for a long time, and really happy for them and them being in the Final Four. And you know, they're definitely, you know, here to win it. You know, it's their first time in a while here, but With Edie in the middle, I don't think you're out of any game, like he showed, you know, in the last ones. We reeled 14 in a row off, I think, in a row. And so if he does stuff like that, I do see them in the championship game. And they're actually my pick to win it all right now.
But by the way, what is the greatest run that you've ever had? Like the other night when we saw UConn go on a 30-0 run, Donovan Klingon, I was talking to him earlier in the week, and he said, we didn't even realize what the number was. We just knew that it was pretty damn good.
That's unbelievable. You know, I don't care who you're playing or what level. You know, when you're that dominant that you can go on a 30-0 run, let alone against a really, really good Illinois team, it just speaks how impressive your group is. You know, we've probably had a 20-0, something like that, or 15-20, but 30 against a good team, I mean, that's really unheard of.
Last thing I want to ask you, because you've seen college basketball from many different angles, right? You're the son of a coach.
Yeah.
We all know what your brother's been able to do in this sport. Name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal. How do you kind of navigate through these waters right now? Because we think we know a lot, but then there's a lot that we don't know, and there's a lot that even you can't even prevent going on right now as a coach.
Yeah, you know, I think the game is changing. You have to adapt. It's not going back to how it used to be. What I would love to see is just as things kind of switch to this modern era, you know, of how it's going to be moving forward, is we just get a set of rules that match what the game is. And I know the NCAA is working hard on that. Hopefully in the next 12, 24 months, we'll have a really good set of rules that we can, you know, with the NIL, you know, with the portal, you know, we can really get a clear path that can stay consistent, you know, for a time period. Right now, it's like every 6 months a new rule comes out,
yeah,
and you got to shift gears and go a different direction. It'll be really nice to just get a set, you know, blueprint of, hey, here's how it's going to be for the next, you know, 5-10 years, college basketball.
All right, I'll end you on this, Bryce Drew, because your brother will probably text me and eviscerate me if I don't ask you this, because I know he's a big foodie. We're here in Phoenix, Arizona. You welcomed us to town. What do we got to eat?
There's so many good options here. You know, a lot of good local places. I like a little local spot called Chula's. It's a seafood place. There's one in San Diego. There's one here. Mm-hmm. Really good seafood. Buck and Rider. Again, I like seafood, you can tell. Buck and Rider's a really good place. And then they just have a lot of really good traditional places. Hillstone, Houston's, can't go wrong with any of those.
Is, like, I'm a New Yorker, so we have a high standard for pizza.
Yeah, I know you do.
Is that Pizza Badia place? What is it?
Pizzeria yeah.
Bianco. Sorry, that was a Philly place, Pizza Badia.
Well,
is it worth the hype?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, Jerry Colangelo, everyone in the basketball world knows Jerry. He is Italian, and so, you know, Italian is, you know, pizza's in that category. That's his ultimate place right
wow.
there. So if that gives you any hint of how good it is excellent. I'm from Chicago. I know you're
New okay.
York. So they have Melnati's here. I love Chicago
pizza. Is
that
real pizza, Chicago pizza?
Well, you're going to say that, but I'm going to ask the same about New York.
I'm just asking. I was actually defending Chicago pizza the other day. I'm just asking if you consider that real pizza.
You know I do. But I get the thin crust, actually. I know people all like the thick.
Oh, so you're not even a deep dish guy?
I'm not even a deep dish guy, really. So when I was younger, I was. Now I'm older. I got to go thin crust. So I go the thin, but there's some New York here, but I would say wait to New York till you go back to get the New York
gotcha.
To get the New York pizza.
Well, continued success. Appreciate you coming on today.
Hey, thank you.
There you go. Bryce Drew joining us, the head coach at Grand Canyon. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're sponsored by Duluth Trading Company. Duluth Trading Company stacks your starting lineup with higher performing gear all year round, plus keeps all your zones covered and comfy. Online or in store, get into Duluth today. We're inside the Phoenix Convention Center. Coming up in the next hour, really do appreciate that conversation with Bryce Drew, the head coach at Grand Canyon. We'll have Leonard Hamilton, the coach of the Florida State Seminoles. Andy Enfield scheduled to join us, the head basketball coach of now SMU, jumping from USC to SMU. And reportedly, you do have the Musbus, Eric Musselman, going from Arkansas to now USC. And Mark Pope, the head basketball coach at BYU, all scheduled to join us in the next hour. We'll be here today and tomorrow at the site of the Final Four, Phoenix, Arizona, getting you set for the men's Final Four, Purdue, NC State, UConn going up against Alabama. I don't know about you, Samter, but it is a little bit bizarre And I know Nate Oates probably won't like when I say this, but when you have a school like Alabama who for the last 20 years, I know it's more than that, but really for the last 10 to 15 years with Nick Saban, the only time we really have talked extensively about Alabama, it's football, football, football. I know Nate Oates has done a good job, and the Brandon Miller story, obviously, which was an unfortunate story, and there was a lot more to it last year, was something that we did have to discuss. But 9 times out of 10, when we've talked about Alabama in the last 10 to 15 years, it's been about the great football program. It is weird now in this transitional period where I think Kalen DeBoer is going to be a stud at Alabama as their head football coach, where the last few weeks it's really been basketball-driven with Alabama. And whenever I say Alabama on the radio, I always feel compelled to be like, Alabama. And it has that association with football, and you get set, you know, on those SEC Saturdays. And now to be talking about them in the basketball world, two wins away from hoisting an NCAA championship, is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you talk about Kentucky and football. There's schools that you would just associate with certain sports.
Well, Kentucky's a football school.
Yeah, apparently. Yes.
Remember how Mark Stoops needed an apology from John Calipari when John Calipari told the truth that they're a basketball school. Yeah. You know what's going to be funny? Someone's going to be listening to this, and they're going to hear me on the radio say, Kentucky's a football school. I'm going to get a tweet later or like an Instagram message. What are you, moron? Sarcasm, people, if you couldn't understand that one. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, everybody's a football school. If you have football, you're a football school. Everything else, Duke is a football school. Even though they're college basketball, they're still
They're a basketball school.
Everybody's a football school.
They care, the money-wise, I understand the importance of the football program, but Duke is a basketball. Like, I think of Duke,
in our mind, Duke is a football school. Is a basketball school.
No
but Duke
offense
is a football
to Drake May and Mack Brown, UNC, basketball school. Kentucky, basketball school. But the money is more there for football, and those big TV contracts is what heightens the
awareness.
Which
is why they're all football schools.
Of those programs, yeah. And sometimes the basketball school even has to apologize to the football team, even though they're still a basketball school.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, it's all semantics, but Duke's a football school.
So, real quickly before we get to a Zach Gelb Show PSA, this is from Adam Schefter. There are added incentives for Stephon Diggs as part of the Buffalo-Houston trade. The Texans also wiped out the final 3 years on Diggs' contract, giving him the ability to become a free agent after this season. League sources tell ESPN, the Texans also took the $3.5 million guaranteed to Diggs next season and moved up into this season, giving him a raise and assuring him of $22.52 million in guaranteed money in 2024. But if Diggs plays the way that he wants, and Houston hopes he will, hit the free agent market next offseason with the ability to make it count. Houston now anticipates getting the best version of Stephon Diggs. So this is a little weird because he had multiple years left on the contract, and now he has the ability to be a free agent after this year. Like, why are they just traded a second-round pick in 2025 for Stephon Diggs. I know now we are more player-driven, but I think the Texans kind of just realize – if Stephon Diggs isn't happy, even though he could put up good stats, he'll turn into a malcontent. And let's just make sure we get through this year where they're going all in. And then if he has a great year and he gets the free agency, if you can't afford to pay him or someone else outbids you, then you have to deal with that. But I don't love getting out of this deal now and just wiping away the next 3 or 4 years of the contract. That doesn't really make sense to me.
No, and if you need to incentivize Stephon Diggs by making this a contract year for him so that he's going to play harder and not complain and put his best effort in so that he can get the most money after this year, then it was a mistake to trade for him in the first place. Like you said yesterday, I agree with you. He's probably on the back end of his career.
Yeah.
He's still a good receiver, but he's not as good as he was 2 years ago. And if you have to incentivize him, and here's the other thing. If this was a team like the Jets or a team like the 49ers or a team that had a veteran team that was building for now, I would understand this move. This is a young team with a star on the defensive side, a star young second-year quarterback. You got Nico Collins. You got young players everywhere. And now you're going to go all in for 1 year with Stephon Diggs. And if he decides, like, you know, I just don't like Houston, or, like, the coaching staff isn't giving me the ball enough, he's gone. He could leave. So there's nothing holding him back. So you basically made this move for 1 year with the hope that maybe you guys can keep him longer?
It tells me two things. Two more things on this. Number one, so he was originally under contract and not expected to become a free agent until 2026.
Right.
So this tells me that even the Texans have some skepticism about the long-term future of Stephon Diggs. And that contract and that money wasn't going anywhere. Now, I don't know the exact terms of the deal, but the guy has earned a top wide receiver contract. So that tells me, even though most people are going to look at how we just looked at it, oh, they just want him to be happy and then he'll hit free agency and get one more big payday, whether that's from him or somebody else. But this tells me that the Texans know he probably only has one or two more great years left in him, so they didn't want to be stuck to the rest of this contract. And the other part is the Texans going all in signifies this. The last 2 years, what have we said about football and what have we said about the AFC? That the Chiefs are vulnerable. And the Chiefs have been taken to levels and been dragged to basically the edge where it looks like they're not going to win. And then right when you're about to throw them off the cliff and say they're not going to win the Super Bowl, they come back from down 10 against the Eagles. They come back from down double digits to the 49ers, and they've been able to win back-to-back Super Bowls. But I think the Texans are saying it's not that crazy for us this year to go win a Super Bowl. So we'll go all in this year, and we'll have Danielle Hunter with Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter on a two-year deal. We'll bring in Stephon Diggs, we'll trade for him, and then allow him to hit free agency after this year, because they think they were just scratching the surface last year where they were in the second round of the playoffs, and now it's about quickly advancing while you're still on the rookie contract of C.J. Stroud.
And listen, I mean, good for them for having that kind of faith in a second-year quarterback with – you know, a second-year head coach. Good for them. I love.
Do you think it's crazy for the Texans to be in the Super Bowl next year? I don't
think it's crazy, but I certainly wouldn't mortgage the future for it if I'm the Texans.
But are you mortgaging the future? It's a second-round pick in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
that's not a big deal. You're a playoff team
picks
this year.
Second-round picks are big enough deals. You're right. They're not mortgaging their entire future. They're not giving up everything for this.
No.
I get it. But it's a risky move for a one-year thing with a second-year quarterback, a second-year coach, and a second-year defensive rookie of the year. Yes, I love what Houston is doing. I think that Houston has a chance.
They're going for it.
Yeah, but like, this is a team that could be building a dynasty. Not a dynasty. This is a team.
Pump the brakes.
Sorry.
Can they get to a Super Bowl first?
It was too big of a word. This is a team that's building for now and for the future. This is a team that can be good for the next decade if C.J. Stroud is as good as
we
think.
Because you have the quarterback.
So why are you like pushing so hard for 1 year when the teams that build properly?
You want to know why?
The Texans have been building properly.
You want to know why?
They build long term.
It's because you don't have the luxury in the NFL anymore to try to dictate when you win. This is now an opportunity with Mahomes in this league and how dominant he is. You don't know how many years Mahomes isn't going to win the Super Bowl. Like, he's not going to – big take. He's not going to win the Super Bowl every single year, Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady didn't win the Super Bowl every single year. But there are some teams that were able to win in the years where Brady didn't win. And there will be some teams that will be able to win in the years that Patrick Mahomes does not win. And you got to be ready when that moment is. And the odds are, even though the Chiefs can very easily go back-to-back-to-back, the Chiefs probably won't go back-to-back-to-back. So you
Those
have
are my
an opportunity.
Boys. Don't you besmirch my boys.
You have an opportunity to strike this year, and the odds are in your favor. Because I ask you right now, who are the three best teams in the AFC? Everyone's going to tell you the Chiefs and the Bengals. That third spot is up for debate. And why can't it be the Texans? And why can't the Texans maybe be a two seed or even the one seed and find a way to get to the Super Bowl? So I appreciate them realizing their window is now on a rookie quarterback contract, and you're going for it, and they're all in.
I'll just say this. I don't even think it's up for that much of a debate. I think the Texans are the clear-cut number three team, especially now that the Bills have lost so much.
So I thought the Jets, they're one of the best rosters in football, the Jets.
On paper, the Jets roster is as good as anybody else's except for the 49ers. But there's coaching, there's teamwork, there's a variety of things, health. I'm not saying the Jets are the third best team. I'm just saying their roster is up there. But as far as team-wise, I think the Texans, after the Bengals, and honestly, you can even put the Texans above the Bengals. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals have lost some stuff, and Burrow's coming off of another injury.
They still have T. Higgins. They still have Jamar Chase. And yes, Burrow's coming off an injury, but he's coming back.
They lost Joe Mixon. They lost Tyler Boyd. Their defense is not quite where it was.
Hendrickson's still good.
I'm just saying the Bengals might not be as good as we remember them being when they had
tough division.
Because even though Burrow was healthy last year, they weren't great when Burrow was healthy last year either. So I'm just saying
he was never healthy. Started the season injured.
Yeah,
then came back. They finally started to get things moving, and then
that
was it.
He was there for at least what, 5, 6, 7 weeks. He was there. He was fine, and the team was just not doing great. They were looking better before he got hurt for the season, but they were still not the second best team in football.
All righty, we got to get to a Zach Gelb Show PSA. Let's hit it.
It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
And the Zach Gelb Show PSA is brought to you by NHTSA. Using your phone while you're driving could kill someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. So the other night, Shohei Ohtani hits his first home run with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the baseball goes into the stands, and a fan did the right thing. What a lot of people would say, oh, do the right thing, do the right thing. And you give the ball back to the player, and you get something for it. Now, whoever the fan was reportedly got back a bat, a baseball, and two hats. And I'm assuming this stuff was signed. Now, this isn't a record-breaking home run. This isn't a historical home run. This is the first home run in a Dodgers uniform. So I don't know what the market value is for the baseball, but don't we live in a world now where everyone shames everyone and doing the right thing and doing what's in the good spirit of human nature? And here you have a fan that wasn't greedy and had every right to do so, didn't cash in, didn't demand for some ridiculous things for the baseball, and just simply said, hey, give me a bat, give me a baseball, and give me a two hats. That's all they asked for. And now this fan, whoever this fan is getting shredded on social media. It's not your baseball. Here's my PSA. It's not your baseball. It was the person who caught the baseballs, you know, baseball, and they're allowed to do what they want to do with it. And I don't think we need to shred that person for doing what everyone says we need to do, which is the right thing. So that's my PSA. All you losers today, shredding someone for giving a baseball back to Shohei Ohtani and not getting a king's ransom for it. Find a hobby. Find something better to do. Every time someone does the right thing, they get shredded for it. And then if they didn't do the right thing and asked for something outlandish, we'd all be ripping that person as well. So the person couldn't win. Samter, what's your PSA?
I mean, Ohtani's making $700 million. He can't get more than two bats.
It's all deferred. What are you talking about?
Fine.
It's all
deferred. He's making $40-something million a year. He can handle it. All right, so here's my PSA.
You know what? Maybe it was the Ipe Muzahara money.
There it is. Maybe he lost all the money. He's like, no, here's all I can afford.
Have the funds anymore.
It's a fake bat. This is, you know,
I have sympathy for Shohei.
So here's my PSA. I was reading a tweet the other night from Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback from Missouri. He says, you can't tell me Michael Penix Jr. is not one of the top three quarterbacks in this year's class. And if you've actually broken down his film, if you say any different, you don't know ball. Okay? The draft is a crapshoot. Everybody has their own opinions on the draft. Everyone can watch film.
Yeah.
There are a lot of experts out there, guys who watch film, guys who break down film, coaches, former coaches, scouts, who do not think that Michael Penix Jr. is the third best quarterback in this draft. We've heard from them for months. And maybe he is. Maybe he's not. We don't know. But to call out somebody's credentials and say, you don't know football because you don't think Michael Penix Jr. is as good as I think Michael Penix Jr. is, then you're just an idiot. Chase Daniel and all the other pundits who call other people idiots or saying that you don't know what you're talking about because you don't agree with my take on this guy's film is just wrong. It pisses me off. You know, everyone can have their own opinion. Everyone can see different things on film. Nobody's ever right, no matter how much you think you know about the draft. So just, you know, can it.
And also the throw that he used wasn't even that great of a throw.
No, Dunze almost dropped it.
No, it got deflected, and then he caught it. All right, Stu, what do you got? Send us home.
All right, so basically my PSA is if it's going to rain, don't forget your umbrella because it was an absolute monsoon when I left the office yesterday at 6 Eastern time. The one, two, and three trains were shut down, so I had to walk like 8 blocks, and oh my God, I got absolutely soaked. So yeah, if it's going to rain, just make sure you bring your umbrella with you.
I think we need to implement a system of checks and balances on this show when it comes to the weather. I think Samter, Stu, or myself, whenever it is supposed to rain, one of us have to just inform everyone that it's going to rain because I do a terrible job in checking the weather report, and there's so many days where I don't even know it's going to rain, and then I leave the studio and it is a monsoon. But Stu, it seems like you knew that it was going to rain. You just forgot the umbrella, so that's
yep.
What you,
I'm an idiot.
I need reminders. I need reminders. Okay.
Our colleague Tom DeCelestino refuses to ever use an umbrella. He says that you're a weakling if you use an umbrella.
Is that true?
Yeah, not maybe not a weakling, but he calls people out for using umbrellas.
Is that fake news?
No, I mean, he's made fun of me for using an umbrella.
All right, coming on back with Leonard Hamilton. It is the Zach Gelb Show live in Phoenix, Arizona at the site of the Final Four.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No!" My car!
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.